Father, we give you thanks. And Lord, we do as we come expectantly to the table today. And Lord, even as we start in this new year, we look unto you, Lord, to lead us, to guide us, to open those doors of opportunity. Lord, to give us a spirit that would not quit, but would press on no matter what would happen. And Lord, at the even at the moment where things look just the bleakest, Lord, that you infuse hope. And I know Pastor John even said it earlier that it doesn't matter what situation we find ourselves in, we can give thanks and we can give praise because it says in your word to praise you in all circumstances, and we do. Now, Lord, bless this word. Bless Pastor John as he brings forth your word. Bless our hearts, and may we be ready for action, not just today, but for the remainder of the year. In Jesus' name we ask this, and everyone said,
Amen. Amen. Well, last week we began a study on the Holy Spirit. We saw that every time that God does something new, or every time He's done something new, the Holy Spirit was somehow involved. He's always involved. We saw that the Holy Spirit was there at the creation of the world. Genesis 1:1, it says that God created the heavens and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. There was the Holy Spirit right there. We saw that the Holy Spirit was involved in God becoming flesh and entering our world through the birth of Jesus. We heard all about that all during Christmas. That, you know, in Matthew 1:20, talking to Mary, the angel says, what is conceived, or actually, it says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid, talking to Joseph, to take Mary as home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. We saw that the Holy Spirit was there at the beginning of the church. You remember in the upper room there, the fire, the rushing wind, and the Holy Spirit coming in, the Holy Spirit filling the apostles, and them going out and speaking and preaching and gathering in the saints. We saw that the Holy Spirit was there, and even today, the Holy Spirit is always there at the turning of every heart towards Jesus. It says in John 16:7-8, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, Jesus speaking. For if I do not go away, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world of sin, concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. See, the Holy Spirit has to bring that conviction. We have to get that. To get saved, we have to realize first that we need to be saved, that we're sinners. That's the main thing. We have to get to that point where we're willing to accept, receive, welcome a Savior, someone to save us. The Holy Spirit was there at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. If you remember, we saw that when Jesus was baptized, he went out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and the Spirit of God, he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And we also know, of course, that when Jesus went out, then he went from there, he left and went out, and he went out into the desert with the Holy Spirit, led him out there. And for, you know, all that time, he was out in the desert being led by the Spirit of God. We saw also that we're no longer bound up under the old covenant, which is the law, but that we've been set free to live under a new and a better covenant, which the Holy Spirit has imprinted on our hearts. And it's the Holy Spirit who enables us or empowers us to be able to walk out and fulfill that covenant, this new covenant that leads to eternal life. 2 Corinthians 3:6 tells us, it says that God has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Every important thing that God has ever done or will ever do on this earth is going to involve the Holy Spirit. That's the way He works. That's how He works in us. That's how He connects to us. Every one of us as Christians should want the Holy Spirit involved intimately in every aspect of our life. If we want to be pleasing to God, this is what we have to do. And so today I want to ask a question. How is the Holy Spirit involved in your life? Is He living in you? We just sang that song, He lives in us, He lives in us. And, you know, how does that power, how does God live in us? Through the Holy Spirit. God's not going to do anything on the earth, in this church, or in your life, apart, that does not involve His Holy Spirit. Every one of us as Christians has to come to terms with that fact that the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential. Essential for our walk with Christ. Romans 8:9 makes this crystal clear. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Can you make it any clearer than that? Jesus himself said in John 35, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. He went on to say a little later in John 16:7 that it was good that he was going away, that he was dying and leaving the earth, that's what he meant, because he said, unless I go away, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So what he's saying is, if I don't die, you don't get the Holy Spirit. So I better go. It's good that I go. That's what he said. This is all part of God's plan, his great master plan. This is the way that God lives in you. This is the way that Jesus lives in you. Through the Holy Spirit. This is how come we're never alone. This is how God does it. Just like when Jesus walked the earth, and we know that Jesus was literally God in the flesh, now there is a new way that God, or that Jesus, can live once again and walk this earth, actually, in a sense, in the flesh. This time it's inside the flesh. That's inside of you, inside of me, through the Holy Spirit. John 14:7 tells us that, for he lives with you and he will be in you. Romans 8:12 says, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. There's no way around it. Just like our physical body needs blood to survive, our spiritual body needs the Spirit to survive. I remember one time, long time ago, I was like 15 years old, and I had one of my first jobs, and I was working as a busboy. Well, actually, I was, at this time, I think I was a dishwasher at this old-fashioned pancake house on Dixon, Michigan, in Lincoln Park. And for some reason, I think I was cleaning the, you know, the meat cutters, the big blade on that thing that goes around, and I sliced my thumb real good. And, you know, I was a stupid 15-year-old, and I thought it was sort of cool that it didn't hurt, but blood was coming out. So I picked up a little juice glass and started filling up the glass. Hey, look at this, you know. And this glass is filling up, and the next thing you know, I'm like, I'm starting to get all dizzy, you know. And I didn't even know, you know, I was, like I said, I was just a dumb 15-year-old, you know. I didn't know that you could pass out because you were losing blood. So one of the waitresses actually came over and caught me and sat me down. And then, you know, they told me about compression and holding it. And the thing is, though, is, you know, because I almost passed out, I mean, if I had lost much more blood, I might have needed a transfusion. And it's sort of the same with the Spirit. We can't just, you know, be empty of the Spirit in our spiritual life, expect our spiritual life to grow. We need this transfusion. We need to be filled with the Spirit. In Ephesians 5:18, we're told to be filled with the Spirit. The Greek word here, this area here, this be filled with the Spirit in the Greek, is in the present active tense. And what it means is to be being filled. Be being filled. Like, on a continuous, like a treadmill, just going and going and going, always being filled. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to always continue to get refilled. When I eat, I get filled up, don't you? Isn't that the way it works? But to sustain life, we have to eat again and again and again. We have to continually get filled up. First comes the natural, then the spiritual. We can see it in the natural. We know it makes sense that we have to eat to sustain life. We have to drink to sustain life. We have to breathe to sustain life. Well, if we want to sustain or even grow in our spiritual life, we have to continue to replenish. We have to continue to be filled. Be filled. Be filled. Over and over and over again. Romans 8:6 tells us that the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. If there's no Holy Spirit, there's no real life. Someone might be thinking, well, I don't know if that includes me. I hope nobody here is thinking that, you know. But you need to make no mistake that if you are a Christian, then you have to. Everything I'm talking about here, we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we consider ourselves a Christian, and we want to be a Christian, and walk as a Christian, and live as a Christian, then the Holy Spirit needs to be living in us. So if we know this, and we believe this, and we admit to this, then we have to make sure that it happens. We can't just go on about our life and ignore the reality of what we need. We have to make sure that we get what we need. We all make sure we get food, don't we? And we enjoy it. I enjoy eating. I'm sure everybody here enjoys eating. Eating is a good thing. And you see, we've been convinced in our mind, and the world will try to convince us, and the devil will definitely try to convince us, that getting filled up with the Spirit is not fun. That getting God into us is not fun. That it's just all work. That it's all drudgery. It's not. This flesh doesn't like it. The flesh, remember, will always rebel against the Spirit. Our flesh is not tuned in to wanting God. And maybe sometimes, you know, we can sort of convince it, but it's really our inner being that wants God. It's really our spirit is wanting God. But we have to get beyond everything else that the flesh wants. And that's the problem. It's not always that the flesh hates wanting. We don't hate the idea of bringing God into us and getting filled with the Spirit. The problem is not that we hate it. The problem is that the flesh wants everything else. Acts 2:17 tells us that God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. See, this is for all of us. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. If you're here today, it's because God has called you. If you've given your heart to the Lord, it's because God has called you. If you've, you know, if you're able to say Jesus is Lord and mean it, it's because God has called you. God puts out the call. Now, we have to respond. That's our job, is to respond. And if we want this to go on, we have to get the Holy Spirit into us. God understands the human condition. He knows what we're all about. I mean, He made us. He created us. He understands our weaknesses. He understands our failures. He understands the flesh, how it works. Jesus even came and lived in the flesh. So that means God was in the flesh. And he was able to, even now he's able to, by experience, he's been able to understand and experience the temptations, the suffering, the pain, the grief, acquainted with grief and sorrows. It says right in the Word. So God really does understand what we go through. He knows how hard it is to live the life of a Christian, and he knows that it's impossible in the flesh. So he says, I'm going to do something for my people. I'm going to give them a power. I'm going to give them the ability, the strength to be able to do what I know they really want to do, but it's just that flesh keeps getting in the way. So I'm going to send my spirit to live in them. Jesus remained sinless, even though he was in the flesh, the same flesh that we're in. The difference was, it tells us that he was filled with the Spirit without measure. He was so in tune with God. He was one with the Father, he said, remember? And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So he was able to subdue the flesh. He still dealt with it. Remember, he was tempted in the desert. You know what it means when it says he was tempted? That means he considered sin. He thought about it. He was tempted. The temptation came, but he didn't fall for it. He didn't do it. But the sin enticed him. It tempted him. When the devil said, "You're hungry. Turn these breads, these rocks to bread. That means he thought, yeah. It almost looks like bread. But then he said, "No. I'll live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." Remember when he was in the garden and he was going to the cross. "Father, is there any other way?" He said his grief was tormenting him. It was terrible. He was sweating blood. But he didn't give in. He didn't give in. He couldn't have done that just in the flesh. But he still experienced what the flesh experiences, that we do. Our Heavenly Father's, he knows those struggles we go through. But he also knows that the more we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the more we live by the Holy Spirit, the more victories we will have over this carnal nature of ours. He knows what we need, so he pours it out. He says, "This Spirit who will pour out," and he pours it out and he makes it available to us. Now we have to open up ourselves to receive. And the more we allow in, the more victory we will have. Romans 8:5, "Those who live according to the sinful nature," this is the flesh, "have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God." We were at war with God. "It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God." Even when we do nice things, when it's the sinful nature that's leading it, it doesn't count for anything. "You, however," speaking to us too, "are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you," that's why we need the Holy Spirit in us, "and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation." We have an obligation. "But it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." It's really all laid out here. This is all Scripture. Once we start living by the Spirit and we start putting to death this carnal nature, this fleshly nature, the misdeeds of this body, that's when we become true children of God. Romans 8:14 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God or the daughters of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by Him, by the Holy Spirit, by Him living in us, we can cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. See, the more we live by the Spirit, the more we become family. When you get married and new people come into the family, there's a period of adjustment, isn't there? Sometimes it works real easy, sometimes it doesn't. As long as we're in the same, as long as we're like flowing in the same direction and we begin to relate to one another, that it can work out well. And when we are being drawn into the family of God, for it to work out well, there needs to be the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God is not involved, that's where two cannot walk together unless they're of the same Spirit. And so we know that God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're one. And if we're going to walk with Him and be part of that family, we have to be of that family. We have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then we will be one with them. And then we'll really become part of that family, where the intimacy will be there, where we won't just sit in the same room and be able to say hello and smile and be nice, but we'll actually have intimacy together. We'll be part of one another's life, where we'll feel so comfortable that we can share anything, where we can talk, where we have this wonderful relationship. And isn't that what we want with God? Wouldn't it be nice if we could have that with all our family all the time? When the rest of our family is in the Spirit, we can. We can still have good family relationships, but it's so much deeper when we're all believers. And that's how God wants it in His family. That's how it should be in the church. Sure, we're all different. We all have different personalities. We're going to rub and scrape one another, sometimes say things, do things that maybe offend or hurt. But the fact is we've been called to be family, and we need to forgive one another and love one another and, you know, want to work together, want to love one another. Because God has brought us together as family. And family, you know, sometimes things get a little haywire, but we come back together. So the more we live by the Spirit, the more we will really become really a part of the family of God, where God is no longer just Lord or Master or Savior or God, but He now becomes Father. And even beyond that, He becomes my Daddy. That's what Abba Father means. That Abba is the warmest, like closest daddy phrase that they could print there that meant, you know, like when your little baby comes up and sits in your lap and goes, I love you, Daddy. Instead of just, oh, hello, Father. You know, as bye, Dad, as they walk out the door. This is that really loving, close daddy. And that's what God wants with us. It's the Holy Spirit who enables us to have this close relationship. And you know what? There's no other way. There is no other way. We can't have that relationship with God apart from the Holy Spirit. It doesn't work. It can't work. It won't work. I know there are a lot of people who feel like they can't connect with God sometimes, like he's somewhere off in the distance, and we feel like, well, hey, I'm following him. I'm trying to live by his word. I'm trying to do what he wants. I know I'm trying to be obedient, but I still feel distant. And the way to bridge that gap, to get beyond that, is to be filled with the Spirit. Is to walk in the Spirit, is to live in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your connection. That's why we need to be filled daily. You can't get filled up with the Holy Spirit back in the day you were saved, which was a year, 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, and expect to have that same intimacy if that was the last time you really connected with the Spirit of God. It has to be a regular thing. You know, there aren't any limits to being filled with God's Spirit. It's not like Thanksgiving dinner where we eat too much and we can barely move after that. You ever experience that? You eat so much, you get up and you go, oh man, did I eat too much? And you go sit on the couch and you know, you're falling asleep because you just ate too much. You know you ate too much. You overdid it. You knew you probably said, man, I think I almost sinned, man. I ate so much. Well, we can't overdo getting the Holy Spirit like that. We can never get too much of God's Holy Spirit. And that's why God tells us in John 3:34 that he gives the Spirit without limit. He doesn't have to put a limiter or a governor on there like a little RV vehicle for our kids or something where we have to make sure it doesn't go over 10 miles an hour or something like that because we don't want them to kill themselves. And God doesn't have to put a limit on the Holy Spirit. It says, in fact, that's a quote, John 3:34, God gives the Spirit without limit. God never puts any limits on being filled with his Holy Spirit. You know where the limits come from? Us. We limit ourselves. Because we don't go through, we don't push forward, we don't push through and get what we need. So what stops the flow of Spirit, of the Holy Spirit in our life? In a nutshell, it's our flesh. Our in-control thoughts, filling our heart and mind with everything else under the sun. And that's what happens. We get carried away by the cares of this world, the worries and the concerns of this world. Good things, paying our bills, raising our children, loving our husband, loving our wife, you know, doing works, serving in a ministry. It could be all these things. It could be wonderful things. But what happens is that we put so much time and energy into doing those things that we forget to spend time and reconnect with God. And it's when we reconnect with God where we get that infusion of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter how much good we've done or how good we look to other people. It doesn't matter how much bad we've done or how bad we look to other people. We still have a hard time sometimes in trusting God and letting, just letting go and letting him lead us by his Holy Spirit. We want to take charge and do everything. And we have this hard time to turning our life over and saying, God, I need you to lead me. To where we take the time and we listen for God and we say, okay, God, what's next? What do you really want me to do? You know, it's funny, we don't think we do, but the fact is, as people, we like rules. We like regulations. We like formulas. We like laws because they're boundaries and we feel safer within those boundaries. When we don't have any boundaries, people get scared sometimes. And the fact is we can't please God by just following rules and laws. I mean, yes, we're supposed to obey the word, but it's not works. It's not just works. That works are good. James tells us that, you know, when we have faith, the works will follow. But the works follow the faith. The works aren't what get us to heaven. It's faith that gets us to heaven, but the faith should lead to works. That's how we judge. We can judge by the fruit, things that come out of us, what we do. Romans 7:6 says, "But now by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code." Romans 8:2 says, "Through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of the sin and death." Now, I got a great analogy here. I'm a musician, and in music, there is something that relates to this kind of freedom. When you learn to play an instrument in the traditional way, what you do is you learn to read notes. You know, you see this staff, and there's these little notes, and they got a little, you know, staff on each one, and you start looking at those notes, and you connect it to the piano or to the guitar or to the horn or whatever it might be. And at first, it's hard to read those notes, you know. You're just trying to figure out where's the note on the instrument. But as you begin to get used to it, the notes, to reading the notes get easier, gets easier and easier. And eventually, it gets so easy when you put the time in and you practice that you can read the notes on the staff as easy as if you were reading a story. And then along comes someone who wants you to play now without your notes. Because they, you know, what they want, they want you to be able to play, you know, without having to read, because they know it's going to be a lot more fun for you. And it's called playing by ear, or sort of being led by the music. At first, it seems almost impossible to leave the safety of the notes. And the notes would be like the law. And, you know, you're so used to those notes and following the rigid reading of the notes and everything fits so perfect. And, you know, but you follow those notes and your spot fits right in and you can do good and you can play. And as long as you got your notes with you, you can handle it. But then you start trying. So because you've been called now called out to start playing by ear, you try to do it. You try to play without your notes, and at first, it seems impossible. Well, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to play this? I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. And so you start stumbling. You start making mistakes. You start out, maybe some, as time goes on, you finally start to get a little bit, and you start doing good, but then you stumble. You fall, you mess up, and then you, oh man, I'm going to quit, I can't do this. And then you go back again and you try it, and you get a little further and you learn a little bit more. And finally, with enough practice, you learn to play without the notes and you start playing by ear. And now there's a new freedom that you have in music, and it's so much more enjoyable to play. Now, you know what? The notes are still there. But you're able to play the notes and all around them and in between them and around them. You're able to do all kinds of stuff that you couldn't do before. And the notes that are still there are still like the law that's still there. But now we have this new freedom because we're playing by ear or living by the Spirit. And there's so much more joy. There's so much more freedom that you will find, and you will find yourself doing things that you could never do before when you were just reading the notes. God wants you to play by ear. He wants you to live by the Spirit. Revelation 2:7 says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church." God wants us to listen and to be able to hear that still, small voice that was talked about in Isaiah 30:21. It talked about how the voice wasn't in the wind, the voice wasn't in the storm, but there was a still, small voice saying, "This is the way, walk in it." And it's sort of, that's the learning to hear that voice is learning to play by ear. The Holy Spirit is a gift. You know, we say, somebody can play an instrument or paint or draw or read or write, do all these different things, talents, and then we say, oh, it's a gift. Well, the Holy Spirit is a gift. It's a gift from God. He's a gift from God. And this gift has been promised to you by your Father in heaven. By this loving Father who desires so much to have this relationship with you as a father-son, father-daughter relationship. So he says, I got a gift for you that's going to change your life. I got a gift for you that's going to draw you closer to me. I got a gift for you that's going to allow you to live forever. What a gift. And as a child of God, which you are, you have every right to expect that God will fill you with His Holy Spirit because He promised it. He wants it. It's not like we're demanding it. This is not name it and claim it. This is God promised this. So what do? Well, that's where we start. By asking. Luke chapter 11. This is really important. Verse 9 through 13. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We need to have faith. Galatians 3:14. He redeemed us. He bought us. He purchased us. He brought us into the family, into the fold, that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles. That's us. Through Christ Jesus. So that by faith, we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And then we have to do our part, which we've already talked about before, which is putting aside the misdeeds of the flesh. Denying our flesh. Denying ourself, as Jesus said. Take up your cross daily. Deny yourself. Because the more we push out the old, the flesh, the more the Spirit can come in. There's not a lot of room for the Holy Spirit if we're living by the flesh. That's why we need to live by the Spirit. Living in the Spirit. Allowing the Holy Spirit to live in you. Remember, this was God's idea. He wants this for you. So He's going to make it the most available way that He can possibly make it. So He's giving it to us. So if I could have the prayer team come forward. So don't ever think, as a Christian, that you can't get the Holy Spirit, that you don't have the Holy Spirit, that it's not there for you. Any of those negative things. Now, the devil's going to want to try to stop the Holy Spirit in you every way that he can. Remember, he's always trying to defeat everything that God is doing. This world around us is, the world itself, the world system is such a alluring thing that it draws our attention, again, away. And so that ends up being a hindrance to us receiving the Spirit of God, and then our own flesh. So we have all these things that get in the way. But God knew ahead of time that there was going to be a world system. God knew ahead of time that the devil was out there. God knew ahead of time about our flesh, how it is. Knowing all that, He made it so that every single one of His kids could have this gift so that we can get close to our daddy. So don't think it's not for you. It is for you. being filled with the Spirit is for you. It's for you. For every one of us. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much that you love us so much that you have made a way for us to be filled with you, to be one with you. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you right now for your Holy Spirit that is here right at this moment. Lord, I pray for a fresh filling right now. Right now. Fill us up, Lord God. Fill us up with your Holy Spirit. Remember what it said, ask and you will receive. You know, I just want to lead you in a short prayer. Just follow after me, would you? Just say, Dear Father, I come to you in obedience. And I ask to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to put to death the misdeeds of my body. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit till I am overflowing in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. We have a prayer team here today. Sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit comes by the laying on of hands. If you feel you want to get someone praying for you, please come forward. God bless you.
One day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Word became flesh and the light shined among us. His glory revealed. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. And buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's come. One.